Now back to information items under number 21, Lake Sturgeon program update. Chelsea, are you with us?
I am.
Welcome.
It says that the host has disabled sharing my screen.
Well, they're finicky that way on Thursday morning.
Here we go. All right, can you guys see my screen?
No.
Hello?
We can see you, we cannot see your screen.
Ah, shoot. Okay, let's see. Shoot. Let's try this. Share. Now, can you guys see my screen? Shoot. Are you guys able to see my computer screen or not?
Yes, we can see it. Just enlarge it to full screen. And
okay, perfect.
Good to go.
There we go.
There you are.
All right. So good morning, Mr. Chair, Secretary Roebling, and commissioners. My name is Chelsea Passbrig. I'm the non-game aquatic biologist for the state, and I work primarily with the Natural Heritage Program, but I also work with the fisheries crew as well. So I've been asked to provide you guys an update on the Lake Sturgeon Reintroduction Program in Big Stone Lake. A little bit of background on the species. So lake sturgeon are an ancient fish that's believed to have been around the landscape since the time of the dinosaurs. Its skeleton or frame is primarily composed of cartilage rather than bone, and its exoskeleton or the outer shell has a row of five bony scutes on the outside. This is a relatively large and slow-growing fish. They can grow to lengths of over 9 feet in length and exceed 100 pounds. I believe the oldest lake sturgeon on record was 154 years old, and it's not uncommon for them to reach that over 100-year mark. They reach sexual maturity later in life, so this kind of goes along with that slower growth. So males typically reach sexual maturity around that 15 to 18 years of age, whereas females are a little bit later, around that 20 to 25 year mark. And they're kind of characteristic of having that shovel-shaped snout, a little bit different than the shovel nose and the pallid sturgeon that we also have in the state. The lake sturgeon snout is a little bit more rounded. The distribution of lake sturgeon in the state is primarily the lower Missouri River, as well as the Minnesota River drainage in Big Stone Lake. This point here on the Big Sioux River, we had an angler in 2021 report catching a lake sturgeon near Klondike, and this fish was around that 36-inch mark, and it would have moved up from the lower Missouri River. And the highlight, or what I'm going to talk about primarily today, is this Big Stone Lake population. A little bit of the history on this population. Early explorers and anglers reported a wild, abundant population of lake sturgeon in Big Stone Lake. And due to things such as overharvest with commercial fishermen, habitat alterations, several dams put in on the Minnesota River drainage, as well as pollution, such as sedimentation, water quality issues, the population declined. And eventually in, I believe it was 1946, the last known lake sturgeon washed up on the shore of Big Stone Lake. The basis of the reintroduction, so, you know, obviously in the 70s, we had the Clean Water Act. And since about 1983, there's been significant improvements to both water quality and habitat restoration within the Minnesota River watershed. There's six smaller communities within the watershed that have improved their sewage and wastewater facilities, as well as best management practices have been implemented within the watershed both landowners and lakeshore residents to reduce soil erosion and bank stabilization within the watershed, as well as 5 main stem dams within the Minnesota River have been removed or modified to allow fish passage. This particular photograph here on the left was on the Minnesota River on the Minnesota side, so near Granite Falls. In 2013, they removed that dam, and you can see the before and after picture there. And the whole goal of this reintroduction program is to reestablish a self-sustaining population of lake sturgeon. The stocking program began in 2014 with roughly 4,000 fish stocked annually. Again, you know, due to this fish being slow to reach sexual maturity and slow growing, this is a 20-year stocking program right now. That's what's being proposed. And today, a little over 34,000 fish have been stocked. These are fingerling in size, ranging around that 6 to 8 inches. And currently there's a fall stocking still planned for September. And this is a collaborative effort between South Dakota Game Fish and Parks, the Minnesota DNR, the Genoa National Fish Hatchery, so that's where these fish are actually coming from, and the Wisconsin DNR. So there's a lot of partners involved in this reintroduction effort. Early indications of success for this stocking program. So this top left photo here is an ice fisherman. This was collected in 2015. It was a 15-inch fish that was the first report of fish being found by anglers. This bottom left photo is from the standard surveys that both the South Dakota Game Fish and Park and Minnesota DNR do annually. They netted in 2016 12 lake sturgeon, and they ranged in size from 17 to 24 inches in length. This photograph on the right is, it was a 30-inch fish that was, a 36-inch fish that was reported by an angler in August of this year, so just last month. So spring of 2022 was the first time that we had reports from the public of concentrations of lake sturgeon kind of stacking up. And so up here in the upper right, you can see this is Big Stone Lake. And the outflow from that lake is the Whetstone River and the Minnesota River. And we had reports of fish stacking up below a culvert on the Whetstone River, as well as below Lake Farley Dam. Here's kind of a zoomed in picture of Lake Farley Dam. So this is on the Whetstone, as I said before. And basically the fish are able to, they move up the Whetstone during spring migrations to try and spawn. It's a little early for these fish. They've been in there for about 8 years to be spawning, but they might be starting to get ready to do those notions. And basically what happened was these fish got into this concrete apron below Lake Farley Dam. And there's kind of like this, there's a 20-foot drop from the dam. And then once they get into this concrete apron, there's about an 8-inch lip. So these fish kind of got trapped within this little apron area. And so GF&P crews went out with a 50-foot seine, and they attempt to seine these fish to get them relocated back into Big Stone Lake. So what ended up happening, as you can see here, there's some really nice fish that were collected. They ranged in size from 3 to 4 foot in length. And a total of 39 lake sturgeon were removed from this little apron, as well as other sport fish, including bluegill, walleye, pike, crappie, and largemouth bass. We've kind of known from the beginning that there's some habitat needs that are going to need to be addressed, in order to make this lake sturgeon population to be a success. And one of which is below Big Stone Lake. And historically, the Whetstone River, it flowed directly into the Minnesota River and didn't flow directly into Big Stone Lake. But during the 1930s, during drought periods and low water levels, they diverted that historic Whetstone River channel and diverted it directly into Big Stone Lake. There's also a dam on the Minnesota River below Big Stone Lake. This is Ortonville Dam. And right now there's some talks to reestablish that historic Whetstone River channel. We no longer need the Whetstone flowing into Big Stone Lake to maintain this lake. And also there's been some talks about removing or modifying that Ortonville Dam to put in rock arch rapids, which would allow fish passage in and out of Big Stone Lake. One of the other habitat concerns is above Big Stone Lake on the Little Minnesota River. North of Big Stone Lake in Minnesota, there's a little town called Browns Valley. And in 2008, there was some flooding events where basically the Little Minnesota River flows directly through the city, and it caused significant flooding within the town. And so after that, I believe in like 2011, 2012, the Corps came in and they put in a culvert to help limit the amount of water or the CFS that's flowing directly into the city. So I have a better map here to kind of show what I'm talking about. They put in this 150-foot culvert, and basically during high flows in the spring, it only allows 400 CFS to flow, to continue flowing on the Little Minnesota River, the main channel itself, to hit the town to avoid significant flooding. There's also this 20-foot rock spillway off to the side. And so during high flows, it allows that 400 CFS to flow through that culvert, and any remaining water would go over this spillway, divert through this floodwater diversion, and then connect back to the Little Minnesota River. And basically what we're finding is that during these high flows, when fish are wanting to move, this isn't just lake sturgeon, this is all fish that might want to utilize the Little Minnesota for spawning, they're not able to get past this culvert due to high flows. And I have some pictures here to show you guys. So this is during a high flood event. This is that culvert. So 400 CFS is allowed to pass through this culvert, but fish are not able to pass this. And so there's been some discussions. I believe the tribe up there might have paid for a 30% plan design to kind of figure out how we can modify and improve this. And what they found was it would be helpful if we put in next to the culvert or modify the culvert a little bit, put some baffles in, which would serve kind of as a fish ladder to allow fish to pass through that culvert during high flows, as well as possibly putting in a structure next to it, which would have like a riffle pool. So only during higher flows, fish would be able to pass through and get past this culvert. And what that would do is it would restore a little over 50 miles of upstream habitat for all fish, including the lake sturgeon. Additionally, this 20-foot rock spillway that's off to the side during high flows, water flows over these, but they found that fish are very rarely able to pass this as well. So we really need to consider and think about some type of fish passage for the future. I just wanted to share a little bit of success. The Minnesota DNR has been doing a pretty broad lake sturgeon reintroduction on the Red River of the North, which includes the Otter Tail River. These have been ongoing for a little bit longer. They began in like 1997 with major aggressive stocking efforts in 2002. And they sampled their first reproductive females in 2019 with observations of major spawning runs this spring. So this is really reassuring. And exciting that the lake sturgeon are starting to make a comeback. Some of the future plans, as I said earlier, there is a stocking event planned for this fall in September. About 4,000 fish will be stocked again this year. Annually, the Minnesota DNR and South Dakota Game Fish and Parks, we kind of coordinate to conduct standard surveys just to kind of monitor the lake and that population. And right now, as I said earlier, you know, it's a 20-year stocking program, so they're looking at stocking through 2034. And right now, one of the biggest concerns is addressing these habitat concerns above and below Big Stone Lake. And just to kind of put it in perspective, right now, the fish that they're observing in Big Stone Lake are growing at a more rapid rate. We're already seeing concentrations pile up in the spring. So this is something that we're probably gonna need to address in the next 5 to 10 years. This picture on the upper right is an example of what that rock arch rapids. So this is something that this is a different area on the Minnesota River, but this is what they're kind of proposing to put in where that Ortonville Dam is on the Minnesota River. And as I said earlier, the goal is to establish a self-sustaining population of Lake Sturgeon. And ultimately the goal is to reestablish a historic fishery for anglers of both Minnesota and South Dakota. So with that, I will do my best to answer any questions.
That's a great report, Chelsea. A lot of work went into that. Certainly appreciate your time on that. Does anybody have any questions for Chelsea on this? Commissioner Risley.
Yeah, thank you, Chelsea. A couple questions, if I may, Mr. Chairman. You had mentioned the partnership and getting some of the fish from a Wisconsin hatchery. Do we in South Dakota produce this at all? Do we foresee us producing the lake sturgeon at all?
Through the chair. So right now, what they were trying to do is ideally they would have liked to have gotten stock from the Minnesota River itself. But as I said earlier, you know, the population is really, really low. So the Genoa National Fish Hatchery is kind of the closest best thing for a good source population for lake sturgeon. Right now, I don't think that there's any plans of in South Dakota, either on the federal side, federal hatcheries or our state hatcheries, to start rearing lake sturgeon themselves.
Mr. Chair, if I can ask a follow-up. Yeah. Chelsea, do you have any idea what we pay for these lake sturgeon that we bring in?
Through the chair. Gosh, I looked at that number too. So like I said, it's a partnership. So it's a cost share between the different agencies. I'd have to look it up, but I want to say total, it was like $8,000 roughly for the fingerlings. And that's shared between the Minnesota DNR and Game Fish and Parks.
Thank you.
Commissioner Locken.
Chelsea, Commissioner Locken here. Are people harvesting these fish or throwing them back, or how are they, what are they doing with the mature fish?
Through the chair. So right now, sturgeon, that includes pallid, shovel nose, and lake sturgeon, it's a closed season. So that means that technically you're not supposed to catch them. There is incidental catch, you know, when people are fishing for other things. These are very hardy fish. So it's more so like if an angler catches one, you know, they can take their picture and then release them back into the wild. I'm guessing, you know, we're still a long ways out, but I'm guessing that eventually there will probably be like a catch and release fishery. I know in Minnesota on the Red River of the North, they have that right now. Again, it's a border water. So this would be discussions that we would have to have with the partners down the road.
Okay. Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Reese, is there any other plans or projects in the works to take this reinstock other areas in the state?
Through the chair, right now, no, there's not. I guess, so, you know, through the databases that we have, we've never really had large populations of lake sturgeon in the lower Missouri River. I'm guessing that these are coming up from the Mississippi into the Missouri and then coming up into the lower Missouri. So right now, no, there's no plans of that moving forward. Big Stone Lake is kind of, that's where we've known historically that there were significant wild populations. So that's why we're working to reestablish that right now.
Commissioner Whitmire, is that the same species of lake sturgeon in the Red River, since that goes to the Hudson Bay, and then Big Stone that would go into the Gulf of Mexico? Is that the same species historically developed in both, or are they kind of unique?
Through the chair. So it is the same species, and I'm not sure if they're getting their source population from the Genoa. I believe they're getting them from the Genoa National Fish Hatchery, but I'm not 100% sure if their source population is coming from the same location for that stocking efforts.
Very good. I don't see any more questions, Chelsea. It was a great presentation. I know you put a lot of work into it, and we thank you, and we look forward to the next update.
Thank you. Have a good day.